You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We'll get to funniest thing from the sports weekend at some point. Hopefully as well, we will get to weekend observations. I saw Mike Tomlin running through the tunnel at what I assume was halftime of the game. I'm going to assume this wasn't after the game because they had already won the game and he might be a little more jubilant. But Mike Tomlin reacted to a fan in the tunnel interrupting him with some jocular, "Hey, go, coach." And Mike Tomlin had no time to blink, and Mike Tomlin had no time other than to sever this person's face with a claw of, "Leave me alone, I'm working here."
Coach Tomlin, let's go for the win, man.
Let's go for the win, man. I'm fucking working.
That's not how we're going to act at Moss on Saturday. You come up to us, we're going to give you a big hug and say, "How's it going?" Maybe not Mike. Don't look him in the eye.
You're going to be giving out hugs at
I'm
Moss?
I'm just saying, like, we're not going to react to you that way if you say hi to us at Moss.
Amin is in town for Moss. If you want tickets, mosslebatard.com is where you go. It's Saturday. It is Moss week. Mike's got a DJ set. We got Ron McGill unveiling.
That's a good point by Woody. He just said back here.
What's Sex and the Animals.
Okay, I will give out 10 hugs on Saturday. So once I reach 10, I'm not doing anymore.
I'm going to have one of those like baseball pitch counters and just like hit the little thing when, all right, that was my first hug. I'm going to give 10 hugs.
If you say to me, "Give me a hug," and I haven't given out 10 yet, guess what? You're getting a hug.
I thought you were going to have like one of those lemonade stand things and it says free hugs.
We do have one of those, but it's the toenail.
The toenail.
The S is backwards.
Have we checked with corporate on like whether we're COVID okay, or are we a super spreader if you're offering hugs now? We're the woke show.
If hugs is the difference,
aren't there aren't there new variants all over the place?
Dan, we're running this event in Florida. We're fine.
They're going to be talking to me right in my face, but the hug is the
difference. Herd immunity.
This can be a distrustful group for some reason, and I don't think that I have figured out why. It's why, in general, nobody respects any rules around here. Nobody has served any grid of death punishments. We're almost halfway through the season, and Jessica's about to complete one of the first by catching a fish. It's been pathetic, the amount of content that we have stolen without anyone paying any punishments. And as Mike says, don't look me in the eye, Angel Resto, who takes such great care with everything he does around here, has been trying to get hold of people to commit to doing things at Moss, like Stugatz leaving a personal voicemail for somebody, or doing little tiny things that are a little better than Mike's Ryan, "Don't look me in the eye. I've got a DJ set in 90 minutes and I need to focus."
Sometimes the bells and whistles are too much, though. Like, we tried the Yo Mama thing at the last one and it was a big we can't just do stuff just to do
it. How did that go?
It was like a couple listeners going up saying, Steak Sauce is going to be really mad at me for saying
this. Went better
than
10-day Tony's press conference.
Right, that's what I mean. So we've tried to do things and it's like, it's a fart. I think people just want to meet us. I think walk around, be amongst the people. That's like we're just going to be hanging out with you guys.
Dan, if someone asks me during the course of the evening to leave a voicemail for someone that they care about, I'll do it anyway. I mean, I'll be drunk and I'll do it, and I've done it before and
you're
I'll do it again.
Up.
We'll see.
Oh, wow. That's the upset right there.
You don't have to show up to leave a voicemail.
Game time decision.
It is Moss week, right after Art Basel. That's why Amin is in town. You guys, all divas around here. Didn't the producer of the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody, isn't he performing at Moss? This is what people don't understand about our environment. We've got a crew of people, legitimately good, clever musicians who are very talented making music, and that night they're going to be performing, are they not? The producers of your podcast, the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody, which I should say, I didn't realize that this had been revealed to the public at large. Did you guys know that there are two kinds of Greg Cody burps? Greg Cody, a prodigious beer drinker. There are two kinds of burps. And Yeti, Chris Cody and Greg Cody's producer on that show, has only caught one in the wild. Kind of the bird, which is Brad. It's when he burps and then just says at the end, Brad. The one that has never been caught in the wild, though. Can you do this, Chris Cody?
I can do them all.
I've been hearing this for 30 years. This is your. This is one that has never been heard. And he can give it to you on cue. You might get one of these in at Moss that has never been found in the wild.
It's a ass wipe. An ass wipe. That's his go-to. He does it usually. He doesn't do it out in public a lot, but the ass wipe is when it's a real burp. And then sometimes he does Brad. Sometimes, yeah, it's Brad and an ass wipe. I don't know. Like, how did he end up here? How did he end up here?
With a rotten toenail that will be on display at Moss. $40 for general admission tickets if you want to see the black toenail of one Greg Cody.
But yes, to your point,
burp,
but to your point, Dan, Yeti and a band of listeners, they're not just pressing play and singing karaoke. They're bringing instruments. Mm-hmm. They're playing show songs, Rage Against Twitter. We're going to have a nice little segment of show listeners playing show songs. It's going to be really good.
Mike Ryan, that is about how you expected Mike Tomlin to sound, correct? Like, if you're interrupting him at halftime.
That was shocking. To hear him just curse somebody out, it was fairly innocuous.
Coach Tomlin, let's go for the win, man.
Let's go for the win, and before he can get to win,
which
man,
means it's pregame.
I'm working.
Well, I'm just could have just ignored him. Like, don't people yell at them all the time?
Look at me, Louie.
A little bit, man.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Just a tad.
Look at me, Louie. We like Mike Tomlin.
Like,
here.
We know you're working.
Yeah.
Like, you're clearly at this stadium. Like, what an unnecessary thing to say.
But right, also just a quick comment as you're walking by. Hey, let's get a win. You know, it's benign. Just, you know, give me something. Yeah, let's go.
It's or too into character. Me. It's him leaning right into his character, and it's just a little too much right there.
I mean, he is in the opposing stadium. He is in Atlanta. So theoretically, your mind is sort of attuned to I'm being heckled no matter what when I'm walking through the corridors. And we've all been in that sort of very focused where you sort of lose all sense of perspective for the world.
You've never told someone you're effing working when they're like, hey, what's up, man? Have a good show today.
No, but I have done the, like, give me a second. Yo, like the very aggressive, give me a second.
Put the hand
somebody
up.
Followed you into the bathroom and announced you all were right, taking a shit.
I need to hear more about this immediately. This was on Mystery Crate, and Jessica lobbed it in our direction earlier, and I did not seize upon it. I want to hear the backstory, every detail, and you will get this close to us at Moss. If Chris Whittingham has to go take a shit in a public bathroom, you'll be able to shout at him as a fan recently did. Hey, there's Whitty taking a shit.
Yeah, so I'll introduce the clip that we have from Mystery Crate. So we were talking about specifically the bathroom here and the various details of the Clevelander bathroom. And Billy pointed out a feature of it that can lead to some shame when you're going to the bathroom, and I reveal the shame that I had at the Magic City High Line championship game for the Cesta Cyclones.
The one stall is also an issue because, like, if you need to number two, there's only one place to go, and also everyone that walks in knows that you're in there doing that. And it's
I judge whoever's got the shoes on.
You hear everybody talking, yeah, you look at the shoes and the whole thing.
I know that I've been subject of judgment because, honestly, like I said, I quite like that bathroom. I use it quite often.
But he will shit anywhere, apparently.
Yeah, so no, I have no problem shitting anywhere. If I have to, I was thinking about this the other day. I was embarrassed to shit somewhere. I'm like, why am I embarrassed?
Be embarrassed.
No, I have to shit. Like, it's okay.
No, don't.
You know where it was? It was at High Line. The championship game for High Line.
Shit at Magic City Casino.
By the way, the bathroom is very nice.
It's a nice bathroom.
So,
it's huge.
There's a massive bathroom.
So many stalls.
A drunk fan of the show followed me into the bathroom. I had to shit. And so I took too long, and the guy, like, shouts in the middle of the bathroom, hey, Whitty's shitting in the bathroom. Like, dude,
wow.
Your pants are by your ankles. You're like, motherfucker.
Was that Jess?
Jessica really enjoyed howling with laughter at a shitting and shamed Chris Whittingham. But I do believe there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who will go into a public restroom and proudly shit and your judgments be damned. And there are people listening to this right now who would not be caught dead in any kind of public bathroom. And can you not hold your bowels like a real adult?
It was just more, I was trying to get away with it. So this is a very sort of effervescent man. He was sort of like, hey, big fan of the show. And like he's in the bathroom and like he's shouting out, oh, there's a fancy lad in the stall. And I'm like in there.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
sitting on the toilet. A fancy like, lad. Oh,
so he was doing a routine.
Yeah, no, he was. He was like holding court in the bathroom. So, he was holding court in the bathroom.
There's a fancy lad.
There's a fancy lad in the stall. He is,
that's
like,
that's
and,
funny.
And like I'm trying
to be confusing to a lot of people.
It's got some bona fides to it.
Exactly. Like
inside jokes.
I was trying to wait this guy out. That I would like. I would just be
there
long enough.
There's no waiting that guy out. I mean, he leaves when you leave.
Belligerent.
Yep.
Belligerent about like pointing out that I'm there, pointing out that I'm in the bathroom, and I'm waiting for him to like for me to no longer hear his voice. He shut up for 2 seconds, and then the next things that he said was, "When he's shitting," and that was it.
That's a guy you're allowed to say. I'm working here.
That is right.
You're allowed.
You are allowed.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Were you guys building out the A-Rod bathroom of your imaginations? Is that what I heard you discussing during the break?
Towels with an A on them.
You know the thing you slide the toilet paper on? That's a baseball bat.
Hey, like that. Stugatz. You think he actually calls it the throne? Probably does.
It's an actual throne.
Yeah. An actual throne.
There's got to be a full-length mirror in there somewhere.
I imagine somewhere in his house he has a replica of David, but with his head on it.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I wanted to ask you guys something and see if you received it the way that I did, because we talked about Trent Dilfer getting the UAB job the other day and skipping the line and the arguments on behalf of, as all of college football changes, the idea of, hey, how can you be a coach? How can you get a big job coaching now that they're like valuable jobs? If you make one of these nowhere schools good.
Yes.
You go right to the front of the line as Trent Dilfer. How do you make UAB good? Well, he got a job because he used to win a championship, or he won a championship as the worst quarterback on a historically great, menacing, murderous defense. And he worked, parlayed it to ESPN. And then Kirk Herbstreit got a private plane and he didn't. And so ESPN.
That was
the end of that.
ESPN just erased him. And now he springs up at UAB. And I was made to think of this because of how everyone laughed at the idea that Deion Sanders could just, I mean, he said this, I don't know, 10 years ago, I'd like to coach. And it's like, get out of here. You can't just go right to the front. And so he goes to a historically black school and brings it great pride, and his son plays quarterback. And Deion Sanders, I don't need to tell you, good God, there are very few people who have ever played sports more excellently than he has. He's not Trent Dilfer.
No.
And he can't walk very well, and he's limping around, and he just walked into the Colorado locker room as a man who'd made millions and millions in sports, selling his brand as a charismatic personality. And he was awed that the shitty Colorado football program has an amazing locker room, because he's sitting there coming from a city that's got bad water to drink in one of the poorest regions ever. That's where he's got to start. That's where he has to start. And he walks up, oh, thank you, Colorado, for giving me a big locker room. You know how much money I made Nike? Do you know what a big star I was before anybody was a star? And thank you for giving me the Colorado job. You just gave it to Dilfer. Colorado's got a sweet locker room. When's the last time they were any good?
It's been a while.
You see that first meeting he had with the team, Deion did?
Well, we have the sound, don't we? I think we have the sound.
It's muffled. It's not great, but here it is.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis. It ain't going to be no more of a mess that these wonderful fans your student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably 2 decades now. And when I get him, it's gonna be changed. So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're gonna get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make. Because we bring kids that are smart. Say that, smart.
Smart.
Tough.
Jesus Christ. The more of
you that jump in, the more room you make.
Yo, I love, yo, it's all good up until the point where he makes them repeat after him. Oh my God, that's got to be so humiliating.
Right, well, that's the thing, right? Like, how captivating is he that he can get them to repeat what he's saying? But he's basically saying, I don't want you here anymore.
Would they have repeated anything? Like, we're all cut.
We're all cut.
I'm bringing my own luggage. And it's Louis.
I wanted that to be the look at me Louis drop.
How wonderful is it that prime time? You got to keep in mind, Stugatz, it's not just that he broke the paradigms with the story I've told 100 times now of showing up the last game at FSU, cover of Sports Illustrated, wearing a top hat in a limousine, in a tuxedo, 0.0 grade point average because he wasn't going to school the final year. Everybody knew. There shouldn't even be an age restriction. He should be, as a freshman, he could play, sophomore, he could play, junior, he could play, wherever. He's a professional, clearly. He's faster than everybody. Goes to the pros, plays both sports, baseball and football, was as big a star as there has been. Not Trent Dilfer. Not a quarterback who won one time because he had 11 defenders like Deion.
Dan, he's the best cornerback to ever play in the NFL. He played in a playoff game in Major League Baseball and an NFL game in the same day. I mean,
ran off the field one time. Muddy Field, Wanstead, Steve Walsh, playoff game. They only threw to half the field because Deion was on the other half, right. And their quarterback had a noodle arm. So Muddy Field, Deion runs off the field, and his uniform is kind of clean. And I ask him as he runs off the field, have you ever played a game as boring as that? And his answer was baseball. That guy comes Hall of Fame career and has to go work in a real, like, small job and make his name. It's not make his name with commercials next to Nick Saban so to prove to everybody, hey, I'm not Trent Dilfer. Like, I've been charismatic for 30 years. You didn't think I could run a franchise. Like, why would you think that? I've been cool. Yeah, I'm cool to your fathers, to your recruits' fathers. Like, do you know I'm a legend? I played in San Francisco as a mercenary. I played with the Dallas Cowboys the last time they were any good as a mercenary because I was Darrell Revis before Darrell Revis. No, all these wide receivers are sprouting all over the place. This is the only guy who could cover them. This is the only guy from the past any of us can go, him and Darryl Green, and say that guy can run with anybody. That guy had to start at a historically black college that is now, he's receiving a lot of criticism for treating it as a stepping stone, for not respecting that he can't climb, that he had to be more. Didn't he say he was swack? Didn't he say?
Well, someone said he wasn't swack, and he said he was, and now he's no longer swack. So.
I think that guy was right.
Is Colorado a great job? Because I thought Deion Sanders should get really the Auburn bad. Job or right. like a real legitimate compete against Nick Saban job.
I read a quote from the athletic director who was asked, you have the money to pay for this? And his answer was, not yet.
What happened was, the way my checking account and my savings account set up.
But I'm sure we'll get there.
It was the most bizarre answer. Why would you ever answer that truthfully?
He was also begging his own fans to not sell their tickets to their first home game with Deion Sanders to Nebraska fans, because I guess they're hosting Nebraska for their first game. And he's like, please don't make this a road game for us. Please don't make this look bad.
Yeah, it's funny, Dan, because I was of the same mind. I'm like, why is everyone shocked guy at small school takes bigger job? Why is that shocking? But the more I've kind of been reading into it, I guess people feel like he made a bunch of promises to those kids that he's got there.
He will fulfill those promises.
Every coach does.
They're all the Louis he was referencing. Yeah. Right.
But it's different.
Like them all to come.
It's different, Stugatz, when you've got what it's a historically black college that traditionally doesn't get a lot of attention, doesn't get a lot of the eyeballs, the money as a result. And for the first time ever, it felt like, oh, this might change. This is a moment in time where the perception of not only Jackson State, but the entire league and all the other HBCU schools can change how they are perceived within college sports.
oh, by the way, Colorado's paying him $5 million a year. He's making $300,000 at Jackson State.
But one of the things that Deion said was, and why should he not look for opportunities for his friends and his assistant coaches, is, hey, I don't need the money.
Yeah.
I don't care, but Colorado can give my staff a lot more money than the place I was at. Yep. Why not? I mean. Yep.
And that's real, because, like, I guess that's a part of me. I didn't go to an HBCU, so maybe I don't have the right empathy for that conversation. Because in my mind, as someone who's worked in around pro sports for, you know, almost two decades or whatever, like, I've seen a zillion college coaches do this. You do something in a small school, you move up, both football and basketball. So to me, there was nothing untoward about him. Like, yeah, of course, he had incredible success. They were undefeated. Why wouldn't he take the bigger job? Now, the question is Colorado the best job he could have gotten? That, I think, is a fair conversation.
Well, this is what I was surprised by, that Deion Sanders is walking into any locker room awed. Deion Sanders, to my way of thinking, is in the commercials with Nick Saban, and now we're playing mercenary ball of, can I get that kid, can I get his dad to respect me so much that the greatest quarterback is coming with me? Because USC just stole Oklahoma's program, and we were all good with it. Like, USC just said, okay, coach, quarterback, we'll take him. If that's the game we're playing now, no, Colorado ain't good enough. Colorado should be thankful he's walking into the riches of that locker room, because Deion Sanders, again, is going to make somebody else a whole bunch of money while he's working at a discount. $5 million is not enough for that man.
Well, I mean, chances are he's going to level up, right? If they're scrounging to pay him, like, okay, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have the crazy buyout in there or whatever, so.
$5 million is a lot of money.
If Mario Cristobal is worth $80 million, Deion Sanders is worth $80 million.
What?
I imagine we're going to see Deion Sanders somewhere in the next 4 years.
Very soon.
But you realize if he goes to Auburn, then expectations come. Like, this is a nice little spot.
Mario Cristobal won a Rose Bowl. Like, what are you talking about? Mario Cristobal is making $8 million a year.
He won a Rose Bowl in the previous incarnation of the sport, where you can't just be the guy who's so famous and great at football that you're coming with your quarterback.
He won a Rose Bowl 4 years ago.
With your son as the quarterback. It's a different game, Mike.
But he's not $5 million. Mario Cristobal is making $8 million a year. Deion Sanders is making $5 million. If Deion Sanders has a good season, Deion Sanders will be making $8 million in like one season. Like, what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that the numbers have all changed.
It's just like, what?
What are you doing? Hold on.
Wait, what? He should be making as much as the most in the sport? Why?
Because Jimbo
Fisher. This is his first time at P5.
Mike, because what the game is changed.
Jimbo Fisher won a national title. What are we doing?
Jimbo Fisher's about to get bought out because he can't make a quarterback into a quarterback, and they're going to owe him $90 million because he's Jimbo Fisher, because he won.
And Deion's relying on his son, who performed well at a historically black school, and we don't know yet how this is going to work out.
I don't know whether he's Jameis Winston or not either. What I'm telling you is that when Deion walks into the room as the second most famous coach in college football, because he's the second one in the Geico commercials or State Farm or whatever it is.
Affleck.
Whatever the insurance is.
Affleck.
That Deion Sanders is still trafficking in his name, and if the game now is sell your fame, sell your charisma. Can you get the players? Stugatz, tell me why I'm wrong here, that Deion Sanders shouldn't command salaries as unproven guy if the starting point on Trent Dilfer is going to be the UAB job, if that's where he gets to start.
Which is a shit job. They didn't have a football program five years ago.
Colorado's a pretty shitty job too.
Yeah, but it's also Power 5. They're a former national champion.
They were 1-11. Like, they were really bad this past year.
Really bad.
And make no mistake, Deion will treat it like a stepping stone, too.
Yeah.
Mel Tucker treated it like a stepping stone.
He'll be somewhere else. And within 5 years, he'll be somewhere
else. And he'll be making north of $8 million if it goes well for him.
Well, first off, Mike, your original point was a good one. If he gets it done at Colorado, they'll pay him the money, or at least offer him the money.
Or gladly accept the buyout that another program will pay.
Correct.
My point is that the locker room that Deion Sanders walked into, as somebody who played in the DeBartolo crime family's locker room of San Francisco 49ers championships and Dallas Cowboy opulence, Jerry Jones Cowboys, he walked into the Colorado locker room, and that looked to me like a locker room that would pay a coach $5 to $8 million a year, because it's opulence everywhere, whether they have the money or not.
Right.
It looked in locker room alone like a big-time program that last championship wasn't in the 1990s, right, at the beginning of the 90s.
Deion Sanders presently is making more than Chip Kelly and Steve Sarkisian.
It's new math, though.
I'm not certain he doesn't deserve it, Mike.
Mike, this is where we are now.
It is new math, which is why he's getting paid. He's getting paid handsomely. There's plenty of perspectives to have on this. Deion is not getting paid enough at Colorado, I don't think is the right one.
It's not that I'm saying he's not getting paid enough. I'm saying that the idea that this person goes in grateful to get a nice locker room tells me how much harder the path is for him than it was for Trent Dilfer. You don't have to make it $5 million, $7 million, any amount of money. I couldn't believe Deion Sanders was awed by a locker room.
What you're saying. You're surprised that he was impressed with a locker room.
Yeah, Dan, like, is he really? I mean, is that sometimes you just say something? Nice locker room.
I want to tell you something. Because those locker rooms he was in, Dallas, San Francisco, Florida State, that was 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
Right. There's been a boom in facilities, particularly in college programs. Sure. Floored by how nice these places are.
I just want to point this out because one of the schools my daughter was considering for lacrosse was Colorado. And I took her on a recruiting trip there. And they took her through the football locker room. And it's the nicest thing I've ever seen, man. But I haven't been in that many locker rooms. I think Dan is floored by it. Because Deion's been in locker rooms before.
And the other thing is, I know Oregon is run by Nike and that they have one of these master plans too. My only point is, do you have any earthly idea how much money there is in these sports that Deion's actually worth more than that just by the tickets he sells the moment he walks in? Because he's bringing the hope of, oh my God, we've got a charismatic coach in a world of Hugh Freezes. in a world of Dan Mullins, we've got the guy who can actually hang with Saban in the commercials.
I mean, I'm really eager to see how it goes for him, to see if Deion's style at Jackson State translates. He's in a very difficult spot. I don't want to undersell. He took a really difficult job to succeed in. Just look at their schedule for next season. It'd be really impressive if he makes if they're bowl eligible. And they simply have an okay season. He deserves to jump to an even bigger job the same way that Mel Tucker did using that job because it is really, really difficult. He did not make it easy for himself. I know that he had other options that would have been a step up from Jackson State. This is very clearly the program that wanted him the most, and they're paying him money they don't even have yet.
Of the three options, I think it was Cincinnati, USF, and Colorado. This gives him the best chance,
I think. The best.
It's a Power 5 school.
Yes.
Are you too close to it, Mike, to understand the funny absurdity in the laws of all of this fake amateurism that are changing right in front of us, that it can be as craven a transaction as, yes, we've got Deion now. We'll figure out how to pay him. It's ridiculous. We're putting him on layaway. I'll figure out how to get the donations based on, hey, we got Deion.
Well, a new coach can motivate that stuff, and they take that. Oh, Croatia equalizes.
What happened
about that?
Chris Cody, did you bet Japan?
It was a good ball. No, I was just watching the game.
They just interrupted the show watching the game.
I mean, we're sports fans, man. Yeah, it's on in the background. How do you not look up this and go,
we're sitting here talking about?
It's like having the NCAA tournament on during, while we're broadcasting.
I got punched in the stomach. One of the two.
Don't say that again.
I thought that was Alex Jones calling a Croatia goal in the Japan.
Is Croatia heavy favorites here?
They're favored, not heavy. Favorites. Okay. Croatia made it to the last World Cup finals.
Really?
Yeah.
I really screwed us up there. Sorry about that. After what you guys were doing.
Let's talk to Chris about.
Well, I honestly think that they're looking at his salary like, well, if this goes well, we won't have to pay him the remainder of his salary. Someone else will pay him that buyout to us. And we'll make our money that way.
It's like the European club transfer fee system. Wow, it's like, all I got to do is fine. I got to find the next great one, and then someone will pay me.
I got to find some money. Well, Deion will do that, and then I'll parlay that into somebody else will pay me to buy Deion from me. Good God, that's crass.
I think Miami funded Temple's football program with that very strategy for
Manny?
For Al Golden and Manning.
Golden.
That's pretty damn funny.
Temple's just like, who's next? Matt Rhule? Cool. Their whole philosophy is just groom the next head coach that a big school would want.
I mean, what are they going to win a national championship? What else are they going to do?
So this is funny because I was having this conversation over the weekend with my friends about like the difference. We were talking about U.S. soccer and why it stinks and whatever. And so we were talking about the idea that
you're anti-American.
I'm not.
They're one of the 16 best
congratulations.
Countries in the world.
I can't believe
you. Why have you taken this
all the money and power in the world and you're 16th? That's incredible. That's great.
Give me a break. The World Cup is not a measurement of money and power. Yeah. Otherwise, China would be in the tournament.
Exactly. It's right. Not. It's a measurement of who's good. Are we on a delay?
Yeah.
I think we're on a little bit of delay.
Yeah, you're on a touch of a delay in there.
But no, so we're talking about the concept of, you know, European style sports where there's relegation and you know, and there's no salary cap and all that. And I said, would that ever work here? And I said, no, because part and parcel of the European system is the idea that there are a bunch of clubs that exist solely to find and develop talent that someone will then come and say, here's a bunch of money, trade him to me.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Except money, cash, money, yes. Hard cash dollars, not draft picks, not like, oh.
But the same model, though. The same model. Well, it's right. If you're going to draft, if we're going to talk football the way we did, and hey, Cincinnati got good by being bad for 30 years and getting three top five picks, and now they're good. The Bengals are good because the system is rigged in their favor because they can be cheap and just do business, and eventually they'll get a couple of good players.
Except in the soccer system, like the equivalent of a college team like LSU would have Joe Burrow, and the New England Patriots would say, here's $100 million for Joe Burrow.
Right.
And then we'll pay him his salary. Like, you're right. I mean, there are clubs that Borussia Dortmund in Germany, Ajax in the Netherlands.
But aren't we just doing this right now already in college football where
yes, we are, actually.
USC bought Oklahoma's program.
Right. So in a very weird proxy way, right, that you're paying all the money to the coach and paying the buyout to the school, and as a result, you're not just getting the coach, you're also getting the player because of the transfer portal. But that's just now starting. But again, imagine, if you will, 10 years from now, will there be schools, lots of schools, that exist solely to be that? Solely just to, let me get a good coach, let him coach somebody up, let's be good enough, and hey, if we end up winning, that's cool too. But really, the main motive here is profit maximization. Is someone is going to come and say, I like your shit. Give it to me. Here's
UCF
money.
UCF was like that with Scott Frost, with Josh Heupel. Maybe at some point some SEC program will come calling for Gus Malzahn again.
But that you guys are acting like Colorado, if they wanted to keep Deion, couldn't keep Deion.
He just told you $5 million. Not only, hey, where are you getting the money from? He's like, he's digging in his pockets.
It's amazing.
That's not an answer. Someone can get the money.
No, but if he wins, Arnold? The money comes. What happened there? If he wins, the money comes pouring in. Colorado at one point in time in the 90s, early 2000s was a great college football program.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even just like you have to pay $5.9 million for Deion.
Like they can again.
That's not where they are in the pecking order.
Cody is pointing out that Amin Alhassan tried to go to the move. I want you guys to understand what's happening in college football because of how stupid it is. Deion Sanders, who's got commercials, just got hired by Nowhere Colorado program that was good at 30 years ago, won a national title back when sports writers just told you on Monday morning who the champion was. You had to wait for the games and then 2 days for sports writers. That's the last time Colorado won a championship. I'm not even kidding you. You had to wait till Monday for them to tell you who the champion was and great. to read it in the paper.
They won in a time where like the game would be over and then all the beat writers had to rush to a phone and they had to go, Klondike, 35.
That's like, exactly it.
Yeah. Hello? Colorado, the Buffs did it.
You guys are messing with me, right?
No.
Chris Cody just said in my ear, that actually happened?
No, and I said, yes. And then you sat to run to the phone.
It is pre-internet.
Oh, yes. What? You guys are old.
It's pre-cell phone as well. Don't tell me I'm old. Colorado last won a championship in the 90s.
Didn't they last win
the 90s.
Didn't they last win a national championship when a referee forgot what down it was?
They may have. They got a fifth down somewhere, but also they were on the Sports Illustrated cover 1 year because they didn't win the championship until like a third of their roster had been arrested, because that's how we did the mercenary things back then. Now we've cleaned it up. Now the mercenary thing is just USC has showed up and how do we buy Oklahoma's program? What's that going for? And that's the game we're playing, and Deion Sanders just got the Colorado job, and I don't know if he can make them any good or not, but man, it's a big swing, and Amin is telling you that their athletic director is reaching into his pockets, pulling them inside out, and then for some reason, sounding like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What is happening?
I don't have any money. Deion Sanders, your prime time.
Why? How is this happening?
We are going to play in prime time.
Deion Sanders is going to Colorado on a credit? on loan.
Pretty much.
There's the money has not been raised yet. He's going to raise it when he walks into the locker room.
And they have to pay him reportedly $5.9 million. His assistants, $5 million per year. That's the budget he got. And then, presumably, he's going to want some NIL money for his players as well. You don't get that directly from Colorado, but there's a budget to be had.
Do you guys realize how quickly the rates have inflated? You used to be able to get Cam Newton just by giving his dad $100,000 in a suitcase.
The good old
and
days.
Win the SEC.
A national championship.
Win Auburn. Nobody cared about grades. Nobody cared about anything. It's just Cam Newton. His dad wanted $100,000 in a suitcase. That's how we did it back in my day.
Find the Gene Chizik.
You guys are totally distracted by this World Cup game.
Oh, that hit from Luka Modric, my word.
Yeah. I was putting together a top five Colorado football players of all time. That's what I was
doing. I was looking for famous alumni so they could give some money.
Who do you
know? No one, like Jim Gray and Chris Fowler.
Oh, wow.
Only people I've heard of on
here. Didn't Chauncey Billups go to Colorado?
Mr. Big Shot.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Did he?
Ooh, the South,
he's
Trey
from,
Parker,
he's from Denver.
South Park guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it, because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
They're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I mean, I did mean to ask you something basketball related. Can you explain to me why Luka Doncic is scoring?
See, you see what Christian Pulisic has done? He's rotted your mind. Now you're mispronouncing everything. It's because this asshole can't say his name right.
He's averaging 32-8-10 in the last 7 games, and the Mavericks are 2-5.
Yeah, it's tough.
But he's historically
those 2 games though. Ooh.
He's historically great and amazing, indisputably wonderful, and they don't have a second player to give him some help. Or
well, they traded him away. Porzingis.
Oh, that's
would have been Jalen Brunson.
Brunson's the guy they miss. Yeah, Brunson's the guy they miss, and it highlights, I think, the problem with Luka Doncic, in that as ball dominant as he is, he's incredibly ball dominant. That's not a fun style to play in unless you're one of these grunt blue collar, just catch and shoot or catch and dunk type players. All I want to do is screen and play defense and then make my open shots. If you're not that kind of player, if you're any player with any sort of offensive proclivities of your own, then it's not exactly the most fun system to play in. I went to Mavericks Warriors on Tuesday, which was a great game, and I was, you know, talking to people and asking them, like, you know, how could they have not seen this coming, the Mavericks, in terms of replacing Brunson? And I think they underestimated how much Jalen Brunson wanted to leave. Just because, not anything bad blood, but just like, you know, the style of play wasn't going to allow him to be what he wanted to be. And so they could have matched. They could have even probably paid a little bit more than what the Knicks offered and he probably still would have walked.
Now you're going to say people don't want to play with him?
I'm not saying people don't want to play with him. I'm saying it's not an easy style to play with unless you are one of these grunt blue-collar type players.
No, but you mentioned that nobody's getting paid to be a grunt blue-collar player. Everybody wants to go there to be a number two who's a legitimate number two, not a subservient number two.
Right.
It sounds like you're saying it.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that. It
sounds like you're saying it.
I'm not saying it.
You're saying it. It sounds like you're saying it.
I'm not saying ball hog. But ultimately,
nobody wants to play with a ball hog.
The Mavericks have to figure out how to play with him on the floor without him being involved in every single possession in the same way that Michael Jordan had to figure that out back in 1990 or whatever it was when they made the switch from Doug Collins to Phil Jackson. And by the way, it's not the same because he's not as ISO heavy, but not unlike what happened to Steph Curry in Golden State, going from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. Playing that way, where my best player is going to touch it every single time, it's good. It'll get you wins. It'll get you to the playoffs. It'll get you division titles. Hell, you might go to a conference finals. But ultimately, there's a cap on how good you can be. Playing this game is too unforgiving. These defenses are too sophisticated. These coaches are too smart to allow one person to just be force-fed over and over again until we capitulate. It just doesn't work that way. And so, as a result, either they need to switch the style of play rather significantly to make it more kind of open, or he needs to be more vocal about needing help and more invested, because Stugatz, in an ideal world, Porzingis would have been that guy, right? The big man, guard combo where you go, we'll go pick and roll and I'm going to feed him, I'll make him feel good, and he's great. But that's not what happened. What ended up happening was Porzingis was great whenever Luka was hurt.
Right.
And then whenever they're together, he wasn't that good. And now he goes to Washington, and it's like, oh, he's still pretty good.
So whose fault is that, Lucas or Porzingis?
I don't think it's anyone's fault. Right. I just think it's style and fit. And until they get a different style of play there, then I think these are the issues they're going to be running into. Much in the same way, by the way, the irony is Trae Young is going through the same thing, I think, in Atlanta. Now, they got him DeJounte Murray, and it's like, okay, maybe this will work. But they're not winning either. And we just had the report that came out from The Athletic about Trae Young and Nate McMillan getting into it.
Well, this is usage rate stuff, though, isn't it? Isn't this the sport has changed so much? Steph Curry is the greatest shooter we've ever seen, and the championship's bent his way, and basketball is going to evolve. Sports are going to evolve. If everyone keeps getting better, Trae Young's going to appear, an Oklahoma shooter who shoots from 30 feet, and now he's got the ball all the time. And now you're doing math on, okay, I can win some with this, but does anyone else want to play with it? And don't I need two or three of him the way that Golden State has two of him and also Draymond doing all of the little things that give you a perfect fit three that you're telling me I can't get from Luka?
But the thing is, too, is that like there are people who build teams, Daryl Morey kind of being chief among them and his sort of acolytes as well, that have thought that not only is this a way that we can play to win? It's also the way that we should play. Like, if you hear Bob Vulgaris talk about the way that they form the team around Luka in Dallas, he was basically saying any possession where he doesn't have the ball is a waste. But that's a very analytics way of viewing things. It doesn't account for the ability to attract stars, what happens when Luka doesn't do well in a given possession, and just in general, we have not seen that model work. I'm kind of hesitant to sort of be Charles Barkley and say, you know, jump shooting teams can't win. I kind of want to say that heliocentric teams can't win, but it will probably happen sometime soon one of those stars is so good.
But what Amin is saying here, when he comes in here and he defends Klay Thompson seems to be somebody who gets an unusual amount of public love. I told you the story. Chris Bosh gets down here and says, you never know the sacrifice you're making until you're actually making the sacrifice. He would be a Hall of Fame player that some people would mock because he had 0 points in a game seven as a third option. He didn't want to be a third option. He was a number one option. Got tired of doing what Luke is doing in Toronto, mm-hmm. never winning in the playoffs. This stuff gets interesting when you start breaking down. Klay Thompson has been asking. Charles Barkley called him the best two-way player in the game and now takes it back, says Klay Thompson past his prime, injured, not the same player. And Klay gets hurt by that. And Klay says publicly, I thought I'd get some credit for what I've done from my injuries. And he also thought he'd get some credit because Klay can be a number one. Klay could do what Luka does. Clay has chosen. Now, you can argue that. You could say maybe not. I don't think he can average 30 a game, but Clay as a number one could do what Trae Young is doing.
Probably, yeah. I'm with you on that.
And he chose.
I think Luka is a stretch, though. Luka is really good.
Okay, fair enough. Luka is a stretch. But the point being that Kevin Durant had to leave there because people don't like being 2, 3, and 4. They like being 1.
I want to win, but I want to be the reason we win. And by the way, there are players that are okay with being, or more okay with being, a number two. But what I'm saying is that Luka's style makes it really hard to be a number two, man.
Just pounding the ball, pounding the ball.
You stand over there and wait.
Right.
And then when he checks out,
if I don't shoot, maybe I'll get it to you.
Right. Like, right. And even if, like, I always say this, like, no, all assists aren't created equal. I remember bringing this up when Harden was around the league leaders in assists, or, you know, was heavy assist guy in Houston. And I tell people, all assists aren't equal. And they say, what does that mean? Well, imagine, if you will, I've got the ball, Dan's my teammate, and, get the ball, I get it, I swing it to Scott, Scott swings it to Dan, and Dan makes a bucket. That's an assist, right? Now, imagine, same play, I'm dribbling, I'm probing, I'm trying, I'm backing up, nothing, they collapse, and I throw it to Dan, and then Dan makes a basket. Now, those are both plays that ended with made baskets and assists, but you can tell, as a player, one of those things feels a lot more fun to play in than the other. Because in one of them, I feel like we're alive, we're moving, everything could happen at any time. There's spontaneity there. And in the other one, well, I'm waiting just in case something doesn't go right with his ISO fest over here. And that can be a really difficult thing to deal with, particularly if you are a gifted offensive player, right? We talk about Clay being a number two and being okay with it. There is truth to that. He could have gone and been better than Reggie Miller on his own team. I believe that, right? But also, it's easy for Clay to be a number two there because their system doesn't have the ball being pounded by one guy all the time. It's moving around, and at any given point, you can be the guy who scores 37 points in a quarter because the offense found you over and over again.
I mean, it seems like it'd be easier being a number three there even than being a number two to Luka.
Probably,
right?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I used to marvel about this when they were going to the finals every year. It's like, how are they making household names out of, like, Patrick McCaw and James Michael McAdoo? And right. Like, these are guys literally, and with Alphonso McKinney, these are guys that went from the Cavs have no answers for us to out of the league as soon as they were out of Golden State. That system is amazing, and it's not, obviously we can't compare anyone else's system to that because that's the most sophisticated offense in the league. But on some level, you got to have some motion, and you got to decentralize your offense. What's the word you use? Heliocentric. Heliocentric, right? You know what that means, Stugatz?
I have no idea.
Okay. It means like the sun is the center of the solar system, and in this case, in basketball, it means your star is the center of everything.
Thank you.
So everything's got to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
Decentralizing it, you know what I'm saying? Like making it more egalitarian. It's not about like, hey, let's let everyone have fun. It just makes it harder for defenses to guard.
Who is that guy? Who's the guy? Hey,
Raw team spirit
yeah.
guy.
Come on, guys. Let's go.
Who is he?
Whittingham.
No. Mike Ryan and Whittingham.
I have some, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think this is like rather big NFL news. I don't know. It's exciting for sure. And it revolves around someone that, you know, Mike loved at one point in his life. Baker Mayfield, according to reports, is going to be released. This is Ian Rappaport. And the timing is perfect because Mike and I were, you know, kind of talking about it. San Francisco needs a quarterback. San Francisco, the 49ers. Now, it could be Carson Wentz.
Didn't they just sign Josh Johnson?
Yeah, but that listen.
14th team he's played for?
They're not moving forward with Josh Johnson, okay? There are a number of guys out there that the 49ers could go after, but now they could just go get Baker Mayfield, and that to me is pretty interesting.
It would be a good system for him. I don't think he'd go there and become the starter. They're going to ride with Brock Purdy. I think the interesting one, is it Brock? I don't even know.
Brock Purdy.
All right.
Pretty close.
I think
Mr. Irrelevant. Mr. Irrelevant, the last player in the draft, because Shanahan is one of those guys. It's just his system. He can put anyone there.
Here's what I think. I think Indianapolis should do Matt Ryan a solid. And
send them.
They went on the record saying they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. I think that they should waive Matt Ryan and allow him the opportunity to go to a head coach in which in his system he won an MVP for.
That team is so good and so loaded. I could see like Philip Rivers going there. I'm being serious. Philip Rivers. Yeah.
I heard a genuine conversation this morning about Tony Romo coming out of retirement to go play for the
Bears. That's how good that team is. Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Those Subway commercials are too good, man.
I mean, how about Andrew Luck? I mean,
Baker's very interesting in that Kyle Shanahan.
It's exciting day in the Niners in a quarterback.
Kyle Shanahan has said a lot of good things about Baker Mayfield, and granted, this was a couple of seasons ago, but Baker had a good season when he was behind a really good offensive line and had a good defense, and. But that's a really good situation. Certainly a lot better of a situation for him than Carolina.
You're talking about next year, though, right? Because this ain't the NBA where like you sign a dude
it's
and
different.
Then
that's why they're gonna roll with Purdy.
Yeah,
he is talking about right now because as soon as Purdy loses a couple of games, there's gonna be the call for Baker Mayfield.
Exactly.
Like who are you kidding? He's Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last pick in the draft. Right. That job status is not secure in any way.
Wait till the defense has a week to prepare for Purdy.
What are you talking about?
Whatever the hell his name is.
Mike White, if the Jets would be atop the AFC if they had just simply started Mike White.
Can you imagine him trying to quiet the crowd to his music?
I can't believe that Witte and Mike Ryan actually this weekend, God almighty, the way things changed, as Stugatz is arguing on behalf of please put Alabama in the playoff. I just want to bet on them. I want to watch them play against Georgia. I know Georgia's better than everybody. The SEC is better than everyone. And the only team I trust is Alabama. Mike Ryan and Whittingham both enjoyed the version of Nick Saban that was all over your televisions last weekend, begging to let him into the playoff.
I kept tuning in and putting the sound on anytime he was on the TV screen, groveling, just trying to see if he can fool a Stugatz out there.
I love that. I mean, Alabama was on Fox probably for the first time in Doug's years this year when they played away at Texas. And like he never is ever on Fox. Fox is sort of its own universe where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the Big 12 exist. Nick Saban is never a part of it. And I was half watching the Big Ten championship game after a bunch of kids were shovel passing footballs to win $10,000 or whatever it was. And Nick Saban...
$100,000.
Excuse me. And Nick Saban pops up on the screen from a sad Zoom screen, presumably no mic. It sounded on AirPods. And he's just in his... salmon-colored blazer begging on behalf of Alabama to get in because it's a big TV audience that can be sort of up against Michigan and Ohio State that are watching, and maybe he can influence someone to put his team in.
He was making cold calls. He was calling from a landline, making calls to see if he could persuade voters to allow it. He was trying to beg his way into the tournament.
That SID was doing work this weekend, getting Nick Saban on every single halftime show.
Like, I've got Saban. Would you guys like him? And they're like, sure, we'll take Saban.
Pathetic.
Look at we're bringing out Urban Meyer over here.
Which jacket should I wear for this appearance? It makes it all the much sweeter.
They didn't book him. He called in.
Oh, the SID is like, hey, would you like to talk to Nick Saban? And everyone says yes.
It's like War Games, right? Joshua called me. What? Joshua called me. Like, son, computers don't call people. War Games. Look it up, kids.
That's a 1980 movie.
Oh, my God. Ali Sheedy?
It was the original computer.
What?
Ali Sheedy.
I know.
What's my man? Matthew Broderick?
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's a great movie.
That was your man?
It's a great movie. Yeah.
That's my man, Matthew Broderick, man.
Again.
Secret of my success. Come
again.
On, oh, no. That was Michael J. Fox. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. It is... semi-pro ridiculous football where USC buys Oklahoma's program, and on the day that the deciding is being done, Nick Saban is calling around trying to get a couple of votes, begging, let me in the big game. I know I lost twice. Tennessee lost twice. Tennessee beat me. I have no right being in this game, but perhaps if I called you as Nick Saban.
Shame on him. Shame on him.
I asked you one question. If both these teams played, who would be favored?
He should have called with an odds maker, and the odds maker should have been like, yeah, they'd be favored against all these teams.
The head of DraftKings is sitting next to him.
A guy dressed as a DraftKings. Sure. Like, why not at this point? Like, what are we doing?
Alabama minus 7.
Stugatz still wants him in the tournament.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.